Country Club FM.
That's aggressive. Is there anything wrong with that?
Well, I don't want you to break it.
This thing is $2.99. I can get it on Amazon. I can get a 10-pack for $9.99.
Really? I didn't know they were that cheap.
It's now broken.
Yeah.
But you know I have tools in my office.
Yeah, you are.
I have a full tool. In fact, I'm getting a tool and a workbench actually delivered here within the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
It's going to have the pegboard and everything. Probably nice. A vise. I mean, you can't have a workbench without a vise.
Correct.
You have to have a vise on there. Do you own a vise, Neil?
I don't.
You call yourself a man?
A couple of clamps, but no vise.
Well, you know what? Clamps can work. Clamps can work. Now, is that a C-clamp? What do you
got? I have those. Okay. Yep.
All right. Wednesday, May 20th, 141st day of the year, 226 days until the end of the year. 1506, Christopher Columbus. He should have done a better job investing his money or maybe... embezzled or shaved a little off the top when he got that money from Queen Isabella. He should have set some aside for himself.
Yeah,
because he died in poverty on this date in Spain.
It was not all happy times for Christopher Columbus.
No, he's not seen very well. You know, he's seen more as a pillager than a discoverer.
Right.
For some people. In fact, you know, they've taken Columbus Day away from him. It's now Indigenous Peoples Day in many places. Yes. So Christopher Columbus, he died in poverty in Spain. People will still remember his name forever.
Oh, for sure.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, he did something, at least.
He did.
He never found that trade route to China, though.
No.
So, actually, he's a failure. he didn't do what he set out to do.
No.
They never could get cinnamon to Spain. So, that was 1506. 1830, the fountain pen is our patent of the day. The fountain pen.
Nice.
Use that little nib. Have you ever used one of those things with a little nib in the end there where you use a capillary action and the gravity and it pulls the ink down the pen and then you try and write? They're not easy to write with.
No.
Thank God for the ballpoint pens that came in the 50s or whatever it was. But the fountain pen dominated for more than a century.
Yes.
And they're still out there today. You want to get real fancy and do some calligraphy. What's that, Neil?
I try not to write at all, ever.
No, that's a good idea. Yeah. You look like you're still writing with a quill, like an actual feather.
For sure.
You're writing. Or you're writing during an earthquake. It's hard to tell.
It is. It's hard to tell.
Get under the door jam. No, wait, that's just Neil's writing.
Yeah.
I think some people, didn't they use some of the up and downs and some of the action of the graph that they used? Didn't they use some of your handwriting to base that on?
Yes.
So, also another patent this date, this patent part due, 1873, Levi Strauss patented the first blue jeans with copper rivets. Talk about the foresight. He's one of the men that made America, Levi Strauss. And he knew if we were going to build America, if we were going to go into the Industrial Revolution, we just can't have jeans and pants with stitches. We needed rivets.
Right.
We needed strong pants because, you know, guys who are putting up the high steel or building railroads or blasting through mountains for tunnels, they can't have their pants just ripping apart willy-nilly.
No.
So rivets on
this
great
date. Foresight on his part.
1873, 1899, Jacob German, or could be Hermann, of New York City, became the first driver ever arrested for speeding. I see that the Minnesota State Patrol pulled over somebody on 94 past Alexandria towards Fargo going 122 in a 70.
That's excessive.
And his excuse was that he was late to get to see some friends. He was late to go pick up some friends or see some friends. That's why. He's going 122.
You know... That may not have turned the officer in his favor. I really don't think it did.
So this guy here was going 110 miles an hour slower than that in 1899. He was driving his taxi over the posted 12 mile an hour speed limit.
You don't see those signs anymore. Speed limit 12.
How long does it take you to get to Midtown Manhattan from Long Island at 12 miles an hour in a taxi?
It's an overnight trip.
If Alex Rieger is driving it, though, or Reverend Jim, I'm okay with spending some extra time in that cabbie. Or Nardo.
Yep.
I think so.
Nardo,
So 1899. This is a big day in aviation, Neil. Charles Lindbergh took off from New York's Roosevelt Field. He was beginning his historic solo flight across the Atlantic to go to Paris. His plane was the Spirit of St. Louis.
Sure.
1927. Then it was exactly 5 years later that Amelia Earhart took off. Yeah. from Newfoundland for Ireland, her attempt to become the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. She went to Newfoundland, which is a little further north and a little further east than where Charles Lindbergh took off in New York. So she wanted to kind of shorten it a little bit just to make sure she got there. And that was a wise thing. Amelia Earhart, 1960 baseball game. You may remember this. No, you're only two. A baseball game in Milwaukee was postponed because of dense fog. The Milwaukee Braves versus somebody in the National League. I don't know, maybe the Cincinnati Reds. They had some fog there that day. That's pretty amazing, but that'd be dangerous. If you can't see ball, let's say you're playing third base or anywhere and the ball's coming, you can't see it. It'd be like trying to catch a ball at the Metrodome.
Yes, they had trouble with that.
And then in 75, not on the same date, but it was right around this time, the 75 Stanley Cup Finals. You may remember this, Philadelphia. Those Broad Street Bullies were taking on the Buffalo Sabres in the Stanley Cup Finals, and in Buffalo they had fog. One of the games, maybe it was a later game in the series, maybe game 4 or 5. They had fog because it was warm outside, and they had the cold ice, and they had moisture in the air, and it created fog. And then there was a bat, and one of the Buffalo players took his stick and killed the bat out of midair. Now, that's some hand-eye coordination right there.
That is.
The 75 Stanley Cup Finals. How about 1967? Remember this Beatles song?
Very well.
Well, that line right there was controversial enough for the BBC to ban this song. They claimed it was a drug reference. I mean, he could have just been talking about the television.
Right.
About the tele.
Or the radio.
Man, the tele bigger than Jesus.
So that was 67. BBC banned A Day in the Life. I love how that song starts. It's a good song.
It is. It was a great album.
And a bit of a departure from I Want to Hold Your Hand, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
If you think how they kind of advanced, I don't want to call it advanced or evolved. That's a good word. Evolved from like 63 to, I mean, in the span of less than 4 years, how their music changed. I don't know if there's any other group that's ever done that before. It's just amazing. I mean, they lived a whole life of music in maybe 4 or 5 years there.
Pretty impressive.
Their music that they did in that span was like 30 or 40 years worth. The Beatles.
Yep.
And they squeezed it all in there because they knew they wouldn't be together forever.
Right.
Because they knew Yoko Ono was coming. Somebody saw there was a vision. Somebody had a vision. Kind of like Tony Stark in the Avengers. So BBC, 1978 this date.
He's going to change the future of a whole generation. His name is Buddy Holly. And this is his story.
That'll be the day when you say goodbye.
The Buddy Holly story, the movie with Gary Busey doing the singing, too, impressively. That's not too bad. That's pre-motorcycle accident Gary Busey, by the way.
He did a nice job.
Buddy Holly's story premiered in Buddy Holly's hometown of Lubbock, Texas, the state, 1978. How about in 79, those Russians? Jets until you've heard Benny and the Jets sung to a bunch of communists. They're not even clapping or anything. Trotsky's up there trying to get him to clap and it's not working.
No good.
That guy right there with the tambourine. Anyway, Elton John, first Western pop star to ever perform and tour in the USSR. Actual audio there here, 1979. 10 years later.
See, I told you he could drive.
Chances, look out!
And for that very reason, my wife and I have yet to try and get any of our cats to try to learn to drive.
That did not work.
Toonces, the driving cat.
The cat who could drive a car. He drives around all over the town. Toonces, the driving cat.
It was a great bit starring Steve Martin. He debuted on this date, and they did several others featuring Toonces, Neil.
This wasn't the only one. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So that was 89. 1993, we said goodbye to the place where everyone knows your name.
Sorry, we're closed.
And those were the last words spoken at Cheers on this date. I think Cheers became, what did they do? They turned to a nail salon?
It might have been.
So Cheers on this day. One of the best finales, TV show finales, I think.
Yep.
Out of all the ones we've had, 1993.
And one of the greatest shows ever.
Exactly. 95, the Metrodome.
He may not have one here. Cordova, deep to right field. For the fifth game in a row, Marty Cordova has homered.
Opposite field home run over the baggie, Marty Cordova. Whatever happened to Marty? I mean, he was hot. And then I think the turning point of his career is when he had to be put on the disabled list because he spent too much time in the tanning bed. Remember that?
Yeah.
When he missed his alarm to get out of the tanning bed?
Yeah.
He over-tanned.
He overcooked.
He over-tanned. He was overcooked. He was a little crispy and couldn't swing. If he would have swung, I mean, he just would have went, you know. If you cook bread and you try to fold it up to make a sandwich, that's what would have happened to Marty Cordova.
Forget the plantar fasciitis. It was the tanning bed.
He was the rookie of the year in 95, and he hit home runs in five consecutive games, and that was a rookie record.
Impressive.
2005, England's widely read newspaper, The Sun, you may have heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
It published pictures of former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein in captivity, wearing only his underwear. We finally found out that Saddam Hussein was a briefs man. Not boxer briefs or boxers.
Whitey tighties.
Yes. The pictures drew protests from Saddam's attorneys. It was his choice. Just like sitting around in his underwear.
Right.
He was treating jail like it was his home. Mm. And then 5 years ago.
All right, that's pretty much all I got. The only thing I have left to do for the last time on a television program, thank you and good night.
I shed a tear on this day. David Letterman said goodbye. It was his last late show with David Letterman, his CBS show. He had two very successful shows. Not many guys could do that, go from one network to the other and continue the success that David Letterman did.
He was a talent.
33 years on late night television. We have birthdays now today.
I'm 56 years old. I'm in good health. Some of the things I may want to do are things that I may not be able to do if I'm 65. In other words, I want to get out while I can still walk through the woods, while I can still wade a trout stream, while I can still climb a mountain, while I can still go out there on those breakers. I mean, those are things I want to be able to do.
He can still set a trot line, say the old trapper, Neil.
Yep.
Harry Grant.
Yeah, Bud.
Bud Grant, 93 today.
He's still going.
Still going. Bless still him. Still talking, still doing his thing. Every now you'll see him, he's on Twitter. And he was as stoic as they come until he gave his Hall of Fame speech
great?
When he talked about his father.
That was so good.
Yeah.
Talk about shedding a tear.
Open the waterworks with that one.
Yeah.
So Bud Grant, and that was his
first time?
That bit of audio there was him as he retired after the 83 season.
Oh, okay.
Little did he know he'd have to come back in 85 to save us and clean up the mess that Les Steckel left. But Bud Grant, 90, they should have just went with Burns. And if Burns would have taken an 84, I don't know, maybe they still would have gone 3-13. I don't know. It's a good question. Are you ready for this?
TV theme time.
You remember this one from your youth? It's Harry O.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that show.
Of course, David Janssen.
He was Harry O.
He was Harry O, but his co-star was Anthony Zerbe.
And Anthony Zerbe has been in a ton of shows and lots of westerns.
And a Star Trek movie, Insurrection.
Nice.
He's Admiral. He's the Admiral that tells Picard what to do with himself. So Anthony Zerbe is
84.
Great actor. I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama used to dance for the
Cher's an underrated actress. She won an Academy Award, won an Oscar.
She's a great talent.
Moonstruck. Very talented.
Sell a couple bottles.
And pretty funny. With her then-husband, Sonny.
She was a multi-talented. She was the Hoyt Axton of
she could do it all.
She could sing and act and dance, and do comedy, do serious, do drama. 74, believe it or not, for Cher here today.
Good day. Welcome to Canadian Corner, the Great White North, and look at this. I'm Bob McKenzie. and this is my brother Doug. And
good day,
this
is Neil. Good day,
Doug's
good day,
new beer bottle. Look,
oh, take off, eh?
He was Doug. Rick Moranis was Bob. They were the McKenzie brothers. It just doesn't get any better than that. Dave Thomas, SCTV. That was, I love that show.
That was great.
I mean, I loved SNL, but then those Canadian guys could put on a show as well.
Absolutely.
Eugene Levy, Joe Flaherty, John Candy, the 3D House of Beef, Mel's Rock Pile. Dave Thomas is 71. Let's go to the prairie.
Almanzo!
What are you leaving already? What? It's early yet! Zaldamo!
Zaldamo. Zaldamo, or Almanzo, as he really was known from Little House on the Prairie. Dean Butler is 64, played Almanzo Wilder. I think he was also called Alamanche. It was a running joke.
Yes, it was.
Kind of like Willona and Alderman Davis on Good Times. Dean Butler, Almanzo, 64 today. On the guitar for the Go-Go's, Jane Wheedlin. The all-girl rock group, and they did well. They rocked
they did well.
Out, and they
Very
loved
good.
To party. They could party as much and as well as any of the other male rock groups. Just watch the VH1 Behind the Music, and you'll find out, Neil.
I like it.
So 62 for her. You just can't get enough of Belky.
Of course not. Don't be ridiculous.
That's Bronson Pinchot, 61. He's a hangover hero.
Popped up right field near the line. O'Neill appears to have room. He puts it away, and David Wells has pitched a perfect game.
David Wells is 57 today. Perfect game. He was hung over. It looked like he slept in his uniform. He
right.
really did. I mean,
he
the
was
thing
disheveled.
Was untucked and unbuttoned. The buttons were uneven. So he is David Wells, and happy birthday to him. Natalie is celebrating today. You know who that is, Neil?
I don't.
No, you don't.
I've had it with this chemistry. How am I supposed to remember the symbols for all the elements? Oh, sure, C for carbon and H for hydrogen. But look, AU for gold and HG for mercury? What madman came up with that?
Good question. Neil, you're well-versed on the periodic table of elements, aren't you?
I don't understand it myself. No.
Mindy Cohen, she was Natalie from Facts of Life, 54 today. Busta Rhymes, our rapper of the day. Not to be used with number 88 for the Vikings in the mid to late 80s. The
Buster.
Fine kickoff returner. This is Busta Rhymes, 48. And for you Game of Thrones fans.
Who are you, boy?
Micah, my lord.
He's the butcher's boy.
He's my friend.
A butcher's boy who wants to be a knight, eh? Pick up your sword, butcher's boy. Let's see how good you are. Mm.
So we've got a prince with a sword and then a butcher's son with a meat cleaver. Who's going to win that battle?
I don't know. You shouldn't show up for a sword fight with a meat cleaver.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, obviously you can hind and quarter anything that you find, you know, some boar or some wild hog out near the river.
Right.
But you're not going to win a fight, and there's no doubt. So Jack Gleason, who played Joffrey, who was the prince and then later the king, people love to hate him. He was
the little blonde-haired
product of incest. Jack Gleason, 28 today.
Gone but not forgotten, our former First Lady of the day. She may be the best First Lady just because of all the names involved here. Dorothea Dandridge Dolly Payne Todd Madison, born on this day, 1768. It's really ridiculous when you look at it.
Snack cakes named after her,
right? That's right. Businessman William Fargo, along with his buddy Henry Wells, they would form the Wells Fargo Company. He did pretty well. Born on this day in 1818. One of the greatest actors of our time is Jimmy Stewart.
All they said was if George Bailey needs help, we're here to help him.
Oh, well, Mary, I never realized I had so many friends. And a man who has a friend is a rich man. That's what Clarence said. By golly, he was right.
We wouldn't have a roof over our head if it wasn't for you, George.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thank you.
That was good.
That was the alternate ending to It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, it was good. So Jimmy Stewart was born on this day in 1908 as a funny man by the name of George Gobel.
This is a pretty fast league.
Yeah, oh, this is the eight troops are out here.
And I'm glad you saved me now, you know, because, you know, when you come on last, you're, did you ever get the feeling... Did you ever get the feeling that the world was a tuxedo and you were a pair of brown shoes?
That's pretty good.
And you know who was else on the
dance?
Yeah,
it was like
Dean night.
Martin and
Bob Hope.
Bob, yeah, that is the A-list. And then they bring out George Gobel.
He came out and said, without you, this show would have been, without me, this show would have been nothing.
That's right. Very funny man, George Gobel, 1919, one of the Ames brothers, Vic Ames, born on this day.
Not as good as Ed, but still pretty good.
Not bad. 1925, David Hedison, he was Felix in a couple of Bond movies, 1927, and the great Joe Cocker.
But we climb the stairs, never do. Love it is not where we belong.
His hand gestures are probably some of the best in rock music.
And a unique sound, to say the least.
A full body dry heave.
Yes,
when he would
so
sing.
True. Joe Cocker, born on this day, 1944. He was going to be the next Mickey Mantle. Pretty good baseball player, though. Bobby Mercer.
There's only one.
There's only one Mick. And Bobby Mercer played well with the Yankees. He was born on this day, 1946. And they're gone, but not forgotten.
I hope people are enjoying the special quarantine edition, the longer version. It's the long version of the Bob Almanac.
Yeah, it's one of the longest.
It's our quarantine, stay-at-home, uncertain times edition. I hope you're enjoying it. And now next, you get to enjoy a stretch of music uninterrupted, except for maybe Neil Freeman jumping in every now and then, telling us who we are and where we are and what we're doing today.
I'll keep it brief.
Would you like to start with Jody Messina, mm-hmm. Heads Carolina, mm-hmm. Tails California, Toby Keith and Sting singing together, mm-hmm. I'm So Happy I Can't Stop Crying, or T.G. Shepherd, I Loved Him, Everyone?
Yeah, let's T.G. it up.
KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany State Cloud.